Hey everyone, it's King Kyrie coming at you, and this is going to be quite a loaded episode, simply because I have a lot to discuss. I have had a revelation in the recent months about my identity. I have tried in the past to write a autobiography of sorts, simply not because I'm trying to make money, not because I want my story told, but because I find it to be therapeutic. But bringing up past traumas has always been difficult for me, and trying to write them down while you're trembling, while you're crying, is not always the easiest. I find that this outlet has thoroughly helped me come out of my shell. I've cried, I've wept, I've sobbed for strangers listening to my episodes, and I appreciate you on my journey. With that being said, I plan on doing a season finale for this particular year, with several recordings bringing up my history, my past. You've gotten a little bit of that here and there as anecdotal, not evidence, but anecdotal analogies to describe whatever topic I'm discussing. But I've never actually sat and spoken to y'all candidly about who I am. And some of you may know this, depending on how religious you are at listening to my podcast, but my first name isn't Kyrie at all. It's Stacy. I've started using my middle name, not because I wanted to, but because it was easier for people to see me as Kyrie. You may not understand this, but my entire life, being Stacy, there are a lot of people who have assumed, when they hear that name, that I would be a female. More specifically white, and it always throws them off when they see me. And it became an issue when I moved to the Midwest and I had a serving job, and people just didn't expect me. And say what you want about the United States and the South being racist, the Midwest is far more racist. And when they expect a white girl to come greet them and that's not who they see, you can look on their face and tell that they're disappointed. And I felt bad for myself because just my presence disappointed them. When they realized that I was Stacy, it hurt when I saw that they didn't want me. The rejection was quite often, to be honest with you. And so I started telling everyone at that particular restaurant, start calling me Kyrie. Kyrie is a name that most people would say, oh, it's black, even though it's in fact Greek. And I just adopted Kyrie. And so by the end of this year, I'm going to be switching back to Stacy. But before I do that, I plan on telling my story in a series of episodes. And a lot of them are going to be heavy. A lot of them are going to deal with a ton of topics that many of you may find disturbing. I'm actually going to dive into relationships that I've had with my family, with my friends, that some people would just describe as abusive relationships, and many of them are. And when I speak candidly about them, I'm going to be very blatant, and I'm not going to hold anything back. And so the things you're going to hear may end up making you sick, because a lot of it's very twisted. And I'm not saying this for dramatic effect. I'm not prefacing this because I want you to tune in to the latest episode, but because this disclaimer needs to be out there. So when you hear this, when I start publishing those episodes, I will always put a listeners beware in my description to let you know if it's a heavy episode. But if you want to skip the entire series altogether, I will understand, because everyone's got their own trauma that they're dealing with, and that's perfectly fine. Moving on to tonight's episode, it's about loneliness, the concept of loneliness, and dealing with it. Everyone deals with loneliness, or should I say suffers from loneliness, even when you're in a group full of people. Because even though we are all together sitting at a table or sitting at home or enjoying a party or out at the club, there are things that we experience that others don't. For example, I have felt lonely sitting at a group, sitting with a group of friends, playing board games, playing card games. I'm stewing in my loneliness because they don't see what I've always seen. They're there with their loved ones, with their significant others, something that I've never had. I've always been the stag, I've always been the bachelor, and when I'm not that, I am the gay one, because a lot of my friends, most of my friends, are heterosexual. So I'm lonely in my homosexuality, which you may be like, well, why does that matter? Because when they start talking about girls and who they want to smash, and I can't participate in those conversations. And then when I start talking about, oh, this guy I saw the other day, he was so good looking, it's like, no, yeah, and they start making noises and faces. And I have brought it up to them before, is like, why is it okay for me to sit here in silence while y'all talk about this girl's vagina, or this girl's ass, or this girl's, you know, DSLs, dick sucking lips. But when it's time for me to say, I saw this guy that I thought was really good looking and we spoke, and it just gets crickets from you guys. And, you know, they said candidly that I am the first homosexual person that many of them have ever met. And a lot of their culture, a lot of their upbringing, they've been taught that homosexuality is not something to associate with. But when they met me and they realized that I was cool, that I was nothing like the stories they were told, it's a learning curve for them. But that doesn't stop me from feeling lonely in their presence. Same thing with me being African American or Black. I'm the only one in my group, and I would love to find more Black friends to hang around with, but a lot of it has to go back to the homosexuality thing. It's the damned if I do, damned if I don't. If they can overlook me being gay, there is a problem with me being Black. And they will never say my Blackness is an issue, but a lot of times we'll talk about things that aren't exactly anti-Black, but when the subject of Black Lives Matter comes up and how that's a problem for them, or the use of the N-word is inappropriate, and if I'm the only Black one there, why are we having this conversation? Like, what do you want me to say? Those kinds of things make me feel extremely lonely when things like that get brought up. And these are different friend groups that I'm describing. I'm not talking about one specific friend group, but there are times when I'm in people's presence and I just feel lonely. And when I woke up this morning, I only had 3 hours of sleep. I didn't sleep well. I had a bad day yesterday. I had a bad day the day before that. And I've just been living with my loneliness. Well, today I wanted to take charge and just, you know what? At first I was like, hey, you know, let me go ahead and call some people, text some people, see what they've got going on. The menu came out today in the United States. I wanted to go see it. I thought the trailer was nice. No one was really available. No one really wanted to go. I have a friend who listens to my podcast religiously, who he's not from the United States. He's from a place that's a lot warmer, so the cold is something that he tends to avoid. And it's been raining all day, and it's wet, and it's gross, and I acknowledge that. And so I told him, you know what, don't worry about it. You want to stay safe at home. I'm tired. Don't worry about it. Let's just forget it. And so he's like, okay, cool. We can see it another time. I've made a date for us to go see it on Tuesday. But sitting here in my room in my loneliness, I couldn't take it. So I decided to go to the movies alone, which I've done before. It's not that big a deal. There are some instances where I enjoy it. When I checked online for tickets, because it's, you know, reserved seating because of COVID, I'm not sure how that works, but it is what it is. I found a bunch of seats that were, I saw a bunch of seats that were singles. So I picked one that I, you know, thought would be nice. There was nothing else in that row except for that one seat, which was close to the middle. And so I was like, cool, I'll take that one. I go in, I have a drink, I'm sitting there watching the movie, and I'm sandwiched in between two couples. And I'm aware of that, obviously. When I sat down, you know, the lady on my right leaned away from me into her loved one, of course. She doesn't know me from Adam, so that's to be expected. And when the other couple came, after I had gotten there, the lady sat next to me on my left side and leaned into her loved one, and everyone was just nice and cozy. The recliners were up, and I was just stuck in between two couples for an hour and 50 minutes. Constantly aware the entire time that I'm alone. Cool. You know, I'm not letting it bother me. Then I watched the movie, The Menu, and I had no idea that this particular film, you had to have a plus one in order to go to this particular restaurant. So there were nothing but couples at this restaurant, and then there was a group of three. And I'm over here trying to avoid the idea of my loneliness, and I'm being reminded by it everywhere, from the movie I'm watching, from the people that are around me. So I get up a couple of times to leave the theater, and I don't really do this during movies, but I just, you know, had to get up and go, and I go to the bathroom. I'm in the hall, I'm on my phone, literally playing a game, and I go back, and I compose myself, and I'm sitting there watching the movie, and it's a decent film. It's over. I decide that I'm going to go eat. I go to a restaurant, and I'm like, do you guys have to go? They're like, no. And I'm like, I don't want to sit down at this restaurant by myself. I don't. So the guy who told me no, I'm like, he seemed kind of disgruntled. Let me just go to the front and ask, hey, do y'all do to go? And of course, they're like, yeah, we have menus here. Hold on. And he goes and gets a menu. I don't question why the other guy said no. I just deal with it. And I order my food, a Philly cheesesteak omelet. And I'm very specific because I like Philly cheesesteaks. I don't like mushrooms. More specifically because they don't like me. It's not an allergy. It's a food intolerance. It gives me really, really like bad stomach pains and I just get really sick when I consume them. So I told them, make sure there are no mushrooms on the Philly cheesesteak omelet. He's like, cool, that's fine. And then he tells me, you know, you get your choice of French fries, country fries, hash browns. I'm like, just give me French fries, it's fine. And so I'm sitting there talking to them. Everything's going good. It takes forever for the food to come out. It's fine. I paid. I thanked them. I went and something told me to check the bag, because you can tell what an omelet or breakfast an egg smell like. And I'm like, this doesn't smell like that. So I opened the thing and I'm like, what is that? I turn the light on and it's a Philly cheesesteak sandwich. Don't want that. So I go in and I'm like, hey, I didn't believe yet. I just wanted to let you know that they made me the Philly cheesesteak sandwich, not the Philly cheesesteak omelet. And they're like, oh, I'm sorry, we rang it incorrectly. The kitchen just read a ticket wrong, blah, 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 blah. Cool, fine, let's just fix it. And so I'm watching them in the kitchen fixing my omelet, but I'm like, they're not giving me new fries. So I told the guys, like, hey, do you mind if I get new fries? I don't want, you know, them to be soggy or limp or anything like that. And he's like, okay, I'll let him know. And so he goes back, and like 2 minutes later comes back with my food, and he's like, here you go. And I'm like, are those new fries? He's like, I'm not sure. And so I grab one, I'm like, oh no, these are cold, these are the same ones from earlier. And he, with a straight face, completely serious, he's like, yeah, but they're not soggy though, are they? And his coworker, who's ringing, cashing someone out at the cash register right next to us, stops what she's doing and looks at him. And I'm just on the inside seething. Like, you guys, these French fries were hard. I broke it in half. And when it breaks in half like a granola bar, you know something's wrong. And so I put it in my mouth and I start chewing. I'm like, yeah, these fries are cold on the inside and outside. Can I please get some new fries? And he's like, sure. And she apologized. After he walks away, she apologizes for him. He's a kid. He's a teenager. I get it. And I'm over here, you know, smiling, carrying on, saying, yeah, I'm part of the industry. I understand. And I'm invalidating myself because on the inside, I'm furious. I get that you're young. You may not have a lot of experience. But if someone tells you, oh, no, these fries are cold, they're old, your response shouldn't be, but they're not soggy, are they? Because I said I didn't want soggy fries to begin with. I almost lost it. I almost turned into a Karen, and I almost bit this kid's head off. But I knew that my frustration was with the night, was with how I was feeling, and it wasn't with him. And so I just let it go. I accepted the apology from someone else for his behavior. And I got my Philly cheesesteak omelet with fries, and I left. I should have checked the Philly cheesesteak omelet. I should have. It's my fault. I said no mushrooms. On the sandwich, they didn't put mushrooms. I come home, which is 25 minutes away from the restaurant, and boom. It's like someone's unkept, super moist garden just filled with mushrooms, and I'm over here not on the verge of tears, just angry, and I just deal with it. And so I take the biscuit, which comes with the meal, and I bite into it, and my teeth, you guys, don't even go through the middle. They don't even connect. The biscuit was so hard. I gave it to my dog. My dog was chewing on it like a fucking bone to get it to break apart. I guess it's my fault for going to an all-day breakfast place and expecting the breakfast to be good all day, even though it's advertised that it's fresh all day. I just didn't want... I wanted to do something for myself because I've been going through a rough patch and dealing with a ton of loneliness, and it kind of made it worse. People said that you've got to be able to be comfortable in your lonely. And I guess I don't understand that, because humans are, in fact, social creatures. So this whole idea of being comfortable in your lonely is, it goes against everything that makes us human. And I didn't have a good time tonight. I didn't have a good day today. I didn't make much money at work, and I spent too much money trying to cheer myself up, and it didn't work. And so now I'm filled with food that I don't like, that I know is going to give me nausea. I'm probably going to end up throwing it up, and if I don't, I'm going to end up with stomach pains and cramps and most likely diarrhea. So I'm going to make myself sick, but I spent too much money on this not to eat it. And so it's foolish. I shouldn't have done it. I probably should have just threw it away, because the restaurant's closed now. There's no point in me calling and having no one answer the phone. But it is what it is. Learning to live with your lonely is hard, if not impossible. I would love how the introverts do it. How they just feel comfortable with themselves, by themselves. Doors closed, no one to distract them. And maybe they do have loved ones that they let in every now and again. But I think that's probably my problem, is that I don't have those loved ones. To be fair, there may be people listening to this who love me. I just don't feel it. And maybe that's my fault. Maybe I'm just so jaded that I can't tell when someone's being genuine with me. But when you hear what I have to say about my past in the series that I plan on producing for the season finale for this year, you'll understand why I have a hard time believing people when they say they care about me. Au revoir. Adviden. Ciao. Peace out for now, y'all.